2 Timothy chapter 2. Very fitting passage for Graduate Sunday. And so there will be a lot of application for graduates, but don't tune out, because the application fits every single believer. And so what we read in these first 7 verses and the application that we find from it, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is for you. And so we can glean some wisdom from it and some fresh application for the days, weeks, months ahead as we all serve Jesus Christ together. So in your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 2, read with me, look with me at verse number 1. We'll read down a few verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you today, and we thank you for just another opportunity to come to your house and open your word, and Jesus, study it for the next few minutes. So as we do that, let us work through these 7 verses quickly, but God, let us get the depth that Paul was conveying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a young Timothy. And God, let us see the truth here and let us apply it directly to our lives. God, I pray specifically for these graduates this morning. A lot of life ahead of them. And God, a lot of opportunities to serve you in college and in jobs and in families and in marriages and in careers. God, you're going to use them in special ways. And so God, I pray that they would take these words today that Paul gives to Timothy and God, apply them directly to their season of life. We love you, Jesus. We ask for your help this morning. In your name we do pray. Amen. I would ask you to raise your hand at how many in here have ran a marathon. But my hand would not go up. Only a few of hands would probably go up. That's quite the feat. There's one right there. That's quite the feat. And so if we were to say, as Beulah, all of us, we're going to go run a marathon, we could all start. We could all, a little Beulah 5K, we could all go out there and get on the starting line and we could all begin the race. Travis isn't finishing the marathon. I don't know about you. You know what kind of endurance you might have, but I'm not finishing the marathon. I've ate too many snacks, and I've had too many soft drinks, and my heart would probably give out by 2. And so some of you probably saying, I testify to that. And so we can all start, but we can't all finish. When we come to 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's a unique setting. Paul, this is the last letter, most scholars believe, the last book, last letter that he has written. And he's writing it to a person, whereas most of his letters, he writes them to churches that he helped plant it or he helped start it to correct some doctrinal issues or encourage them in the Lord. This one's a little different. He writes 1 and 2 Timothy to a young pastor, to a young man who God had called, who God was using, but yet Timothy was facing some uncertainty. Timothy was facing some issues. Timothy was walking in some uncharted waters, and he was, you see in chapter 1, he was getting a little bit discouraged. Paul calls out some timidness in Timothy, some shyness in Timothy, some areas where Timothy might be feeling like he could shrink back instead of standing bold on the gospel which God had called him to proclaim. And so when we come to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first 7 verses, really the whole chapter, but we're going to look at the first 7 verses. Paul is encouraging this young man in the midst of Timothy's own discomfort and situations. Paul himself is not in a great spot. Paul is in prison, most likely awaiting execution, as he writes to young Timothy. And so, imagine Timothy. His church has been, Acts 20, it was said that wolves would creep into the church at Ephesus. And so Timothy is experiencing that. There is false teachers that have crept into the church. And so he's experiencing that. Some are saying, man, you're just too young to lead. You don't have what it takes. You don't have the credibility or the accolades or the ability to lead this church. And so Paul writes what Pastor said earlier, don't let no man despise thy youth. And so Timothy's facing a lot of different things. Some have abandoned Paul and left Timothy. And so he's facing heartache. And then here's Paul, who's on his deathbed in prison awaiting execution. And he writes to his guy he's been mentoring, hey, I'm probably not going to make it. And so Timothy probably feels like the weight of the world has come crashing down on his shoulders. And so for Christians, some of you, you know what that's like. It feels like everything at once has come right at us. And for graduates, it's been for so long, you've been pursuing one thing. I got to take a test, and I've got to get on online and do a discussion board for some college graduates, and I got to get on 1159 because if I miss it, and I got to write, hey, man, good to see you. You know, like, you'd said such a good thing that nobody else has ever thought of before. You know what I'm talking about. And so some of you, and you've been pushing and striving to get done with it. Don't stop here. And so as Paul is exiting, as Timothy is stepping up, he's calling him. He's calling you. He's calling Christians to one thing. And that is to endure, and what we title it, stay the course. You could take many different looks at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We could look at the principle of discipleship and multiplication, and we'll briefly talk about that from verse 2. But I think if you sum up these seven verses with the three analogies that Paul gives us, it's endure for the gospel of Jesus Christ and make much of the ministry that he has given to you. Christians, it's the same for you. Graduates, it's the same for you. We are to make the most of the life and the ministry that Jesus has called us to. Even when it's difficult, even when it is challenging, even when you feel like all of my human resources have been exhausted, Paul is going to call us to something greater. Paul is going to equip us with something larger than ourselves that we can use to go forward for the gospel. And while Paul, I think it's worth noting, while Paul is dying, about to go and die, he is concerned with the gospel going forward. Not his circumstances, not the prison that he is in, but the gospel going forward with power and with might. And that should be the charge we all take away today. If you have been called by Jesus, if he has saved you, we just sung about the blood. If the blood has changed you and redeemed you and reconciled you, you are called to something more. You're to use what God has called you and endure and stay the course. So four truths this morning about staying the course from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Truth number one, I want you to see this. Faithfulness requires strength. Faithfulness requires strength. Look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Notice what he says, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, notice these next two words. It's a command. Be strong. So he's talking about strength. But what's unique about the strength he's talking about, it's not something Timothy can just go to the gym and gain. It's a strength that has to be connected to a source. It's kind of like an extension cord. We use them for all sorts of different things, to run power tools, to run Christmas lights, to plug up our televisions. But if that extension cord is not plugged into the outlet, that extension cord is useless. You can plug your television, your saw, your drill, whatever it is, into that extension cord. But if that cord is not at the source, plugged into the outlet by which it gets its power, you're not going to have any power for the tool. That's what Paul is encouraging Timothy. Now, I want to break it down word by word. He says, thou therefore. So he's connecting back to what he said in chapter 1. He has encouraged Timothy, be strong in doctrine. Lead the church. Do what God has called you to do. Have sound doctrine. And then he says, my son. So he kind of gives him a charge, but then he brings it down on an intimate level. So obviously Paul was not the biological father of Timothy, but he was his spiritual father. You see in chapter 1 that Timothy had a grandma and a mother that poured into him the gospel. No father figure was mentioned. It's not like Paul took him under his wing and encouraged him and mentored him in the gospel, trained him and led him and allowed him to serve in many different areas. So he says, therefore, my son, what I've just encouraged you in. Now here comes a command. Be strong, but notice this, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It would be one thing, graduates, to say, hey, you're about to go to college. Or adults, you're about to go into the workforce. You're about to lead families and become married and have children and do all these great things. It'd be one thing to say, hey, just do well in that. But if we just said, hey, do good in that, and we closed our Bibles and never told you how to do that, it'd be failing. How many of us have left summer camp, left church services, left Sunday mornings with a great exhortation from the pastor or from the camp speaker, and we leave with a word, and I'm going to do that, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to witness and make a disciple. I'm going to go forward for the gospel. I'm going to forsake sin and put away some things in my life. And then we get to the week. And it's like, well, the thing that I said I was going to do on Sunday or at Thursday night at camp or at small group on Wednesday, whatever it was, I just feel like I can't do it. And so it'd be one thing today for us to just read the first part of verse 1 and say, hey, guys, be strong. But if we didn't tell you how to be strong, Paul does that. Through these 7 verses, Paul gives 3 analogies, and he tells us how we gain strength as a Christian. Notice it in verse 1. He says, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know what grace is? The way I've taught the teenagers how to remember it, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Spell grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You gain everything through grace. We just sung about the blood. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins was the greatest demonstration of love. And through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we were given grace. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. You understand? We don't deserve a relationship with Him, and we know this. Our sin separates us from Him. We sung about a chasm, a separation between us and God. Our sin separates us from Him, but God's grace brings us back to the Father. Grace saves us, but I think where a lot of us as Christians get it wrong is grace is just for salvation. Grace is something that graduates and Christians and adults that we must daily tap into. Must daily lean into. And if we're not connected to the source, like that extension cord, and we're not connected to Jesus receiving fresh grace, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not written to unbelievers. It's written to Christians. And again, that's grace. Grace keeps forgiving us. Grace keeps working in us. Grace keeps sustaining us. So we have saving grace and we have sustaining grace. So I want you to notice this. Your strength that Paul is commanding Timothy and you and I to tap into is not your own. You can't do enough good. You can't work hard enough. It's grace from, look the last 2 words of verse 1, or 3 words, in Christ Jesus. If you are connected to Him, see this in the Gospel of John. If we are connected to Him, His grace is empowering us and flowing through us to equip us to do the things that He has called us to do. So graduates, you're going to walk into some of you going to 4-year colleges, some of you going into the workforce, some of you many different paths of life. Some of you are going to be questioned about your faith. Some of you are going to be questioned about why you believe what you believe. Some of you at work, you're going to be belittled because you pray over your meal and you want to have a Bible study and you want to read your Bible at your break. And some of you already experienced these things. That was Timothy. He's facing what seems to be great odds. And Paul says, Timothy, you're connected to Jesus. Have the strength that only comes from Him. Because if you don't have that, what we see in a lot of Christians, and we've seen with a lot of high school graduates, and we see this, the statistics prove themselves accurate, many quit. Because they walk away not connected to the source. Look at verse 2. Here's where it gets a little more challenging. And the things that thou hast heard of me. You're going to see 4 generations here. Paul has taught Timothy the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see this? Paul taught Timothy. Timothy is to teach faithful men. Faithful men are to teach others also. This is not addition to the kingdom of God. This is multiplication. And so it is the principle of taking your life, the strength that God has given you, and sharing the gospel with others around you. I read a statistic this week that said only 2% of Christians have actually made a disciple. We should be committed. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy taught faithful men taught others. So as you go to college and to work and into your life and into your families and with your kids and with your spouses, you should be committed because you are connected to the strength that Jesus gives you to share the gospel with others. You say, well, I'm busy. It starts in your families. I'm busy. It starts where you go every single day. If you go to work and sit behind the desk, there's probably somebody beside you. that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. You're going to be in classrooms and workplaces and environments where you can share the gospel, because it's about making much of the kingdom. And so Paul said, Timothy, there's four generations here. Keep it up. Push on with the strength that Jesus gives you to do the very thing that he's called you to do. Each of us are called to certain, you're not where you are by happenstance. God is sovereign. You are placed where you are for a mission and for a purpose. So fulfill that well with what God has called you to do. So number one, faithfulness requires strength. Number two, faithfulness requires endurance. Look at verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore, so again, he's connecting to what he's just said. He's given a command. So the next three analogies that he gives us, and we'll work through them, we can't accomplish what he's done if we're not connected to the strength. So don't forget, as we work through the next three truths, don't forget the strength that we are connected to, which is Christ Jesus. He says, thou therefore, the strength, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. That's an important phrase. You underline, circle in your Bibles. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'm not much of a fisherman, but some of these high schoolers are. You can have the best boat, the best bait, the best stuff, the best materials, but if your line gets tangled, you're not really fishing that well. You can't cast, you can't reel. If that thing, you see some of them, those little open fishing, they got this ball of line sitting on top. You're not doing much with that. So you're going to have to get one of these fellows that know what they're doing, how to fix it. And so some of these boys caught a big catfish on Thursday night at Bible study and come in the gym with it. Their line wasn't tangled, I promise you that. So they caught a big fish. But you know what it's like, getting tangled, you're not accomplishing your purpose. And so he uses the analogy of a soldier. See verse 3, as a good soldier, but then he's talking about our Christianity, of Jesus Christ. So what's the command? Endure hardness. We would be not faithful pastors if we get up here and say, hey, as a Christian, you're never going to walk through difficulty. Wouldn't be telling you the truth, graduates, if I said, hey, the life that's set before you as you go and study and find a career and follow God's path for your life was going to be all bliss. We would be telling you a lie. The Bible paints a picture that as we walk the Christian life, as we follow Jesus, there are seasons and there are circumstances that we walk through that we probably would not have written up. That we would not have said, this is the path for my life. Sometimes it gets challenging. It's Timothy. That's Paul. They're facing that actively as he writes this. Christians, you know what that's like. You walk through seasons. It could be disease. It could be financial hardship. It could be marital conflict. It could be just some persecution of your faith in some area. It could be backlash for something. Whatever. You know what hardship is. We don't have to sit here and define every single person's hardness that Paul is talking about. But he says, endure. So what does that mean? It means when the difficult situations of our Christian life come up, we're not to stop. We're not to just give up and throw in the towel and say, okay, well, I've went as hard as I can. No, a soldier is who he pictures you like. Soldier don't sign up for battle and then get out to battle and say, man, I didn't realize how bad this is going to be. Didn't realize I was going to eat these meals and live in trenches and fight battles and get shot at and all the things that go along with that. I didn't realize how hard physical training would be and how hard PT would be and how hard. I didn't realize that, so let me just bail out. No, he knew what he was signing up for. If you've been in the army, you knew what you were signing up for. And so Paul says, Timothy, I'm comparing the Christian walk to that of a good soldier. Because you're going to walk through difficulty. You're going to walk through seasons of conflict and seasons of heartache and seasons where it feels like opposition is increasing in your life. And you see that. That's a pattern throughout Scripture. Joseph suffered before he ruled. David suffered before he became king. Paul suffered as he planted churches and went from place to place preaching the gospel. Jesus, the best example of this, suffered on earth before he went to the cross to die for our sins. So it's the picture we see all throughout the Bible. But we see all these men, Joseph, David, Paul, Jesus, faithful in the midst of the suffering that they were walking through. That's what he says. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 4. No man that warreth or is enlisted entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know what he's saying there? If a soldier's at war, he's not really concerned with a lot of stuff that's going on back home. He's focused on the mission. He's focused on accomplishing what the one who has sent him out to accomplish what his mission is. That's what he says. Now, warreth and entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That's not just talking about sin. That's not just saying that the Christian gets tangled up in moral failure, or the Christian gets tangled up in just sinful ideas or idolatry. It's talking about even good things that's elevated to a God thing. So when our career becomes our driving factor, or our relationships become what gives us a fulfillment and joy and happiness, it's when good things become the best thing, and then it becomes a bad thing. And so what he says, watch out for that, because look on in the verse, that he, the soldier, you, the Christian, may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I've said it from this pulpit, I've said it at youth. Jesus is not one of your priorities. He's the paper by which you write all of your priorities on. And so if you are not, Jesus has to build everything up in your life. But if we're thinking, okay, well, Jesus fits somewhere, and there's ball, and there's life, and there's career, and there's family, and there's ministry, and all that. No, Jesus is the foundation by which you build career, and you build life, and you build family, and you build relationships on. If Jesus is not the foundation, we're all crumbling. It has to be. So he says, now, getting entangled can be sin. When you look at many pastors and many Christians who started well, didn't stay the course. You look at many Christians who just got enamored with things of life and the good things of life and didn't stay the course. And so Paul's saying, as a good soldier, endure. So graduates, when things get tough, endure. Because why? Verse 1, you are connected to Jesus. So number 2, we see faithfulness requires endurance. Number 3, faithfulness requires discipline. Look at verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. He's talking about an athlete. And so, I mean, think about your favorite professional athlete. Do you think they have discipline in the weight room and discipline on the courts and discipline out on the golf course or whatever kind of athlete you're talking about? They didn't just wake up 5 minutes before the game or the tee time and walk out there and think, man, I'm just going to win this. No, there is years and months and early hours and late nights of dedication and discipline to become great at their sport. It's true with an instrument. It's true with academics. It's true with whatever you want to set yourself out to accomplish. It takes discipline and hard work. And Paul says, Timothy, I've compared you to a soldier. Now I'm going to compare you to an athlete. And I think really what he's talking about, athletes train, and a victory requires a lot of things. Sacrifice, commitment, self-control, self-discipline. For you to win in any sport, it requires those things. And Paul's saying the Christian life is no different. And the big one we can take away from this is just discipline in your relationship with Jesus. We just get very practical for a moment. Life gets busy. But if life gets so busy that you don't spend time with Jesus, you're not disciplined in the correct things. And so he's saying, athlete trains. You want to know how to lead someone to the Lord and make a disciple? Read the Word. Go through D-Life. Look at the Gospels. Watch Jesus. Read about Jesus. Study about Jesus. Hear what Paul is saying to these churches and to Timothy. Study it. Don't let Pastor Jackson and Wednesday nights and your one Bible study, don't let that be the only Word of God you're getting. Be disciplined in these things. Be committed to these things. Prayer. Be disciplined in it. Have a prayer life more than just over your meal. More than just 30 seconds before you're falling asleep. Have an actual prayer life where you are connected to the strength. You're close. How can you grow in strength and in grace if you're not growing closer to Jesus? If you're not disciplined in these things, you will never, ever have the strength that he's talking about in verse 1. It requires discipline to grow and to say, okay, I'm waking up 30 minutes earlier. I'm going to bed 30 minutes later. I'm going to take a shorter lunch that I can spend time with Jesus. You think an athlete who wants to be great at their sport or a musician who wants to be great at their instrument doesn't give up some of the things that they want? Give up some of their free time so that they can grow at their sport and at their ability? He's saying, guys, It's discipline. It's like an athlete who is focused on what they want to do. See what he says? If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Basically, you're not going to win unless you work hard. You're not going to succeed unless you grow. So what he's saying, stay disciplined. Stay faithful. Stay the course that he's called you to do. What's one area of your life today? Say, I could be more disciplined in. Is it evangelism? Is it prayer? Is it the Word of God? What is it? Well, one area of your life could you be more disciplined in so that you can do what he's saying here. Stay the course, endure hardness, and be connected to the strength that is Jesus Christ. That's number three. Number four, and we'll wrap it up. Faithfulness requires patience. Look at verses 6 and 7. Faithfulness requires patience. This is probably the most, the analogy that we'll connect with the most. We've got a lot of farmers. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. The husbandman, the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. You got a lot of farmers in here. You don't plant on Saturday and get a tomato on Sunday. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes watering. And you guys know my history with planting crops. This past week, I walk into my office, and there's a white, little white styrofoam cup with some soil and a little plant sticking out of it. And I thought, who is going to trust me with another live plant? Grayson Moore is going to trust me with another. He said, Travis, this one is foolproof. Basically, you can't kill it. He said, just put it in a windowsill, give it water ever so many days. It's not going to take root. It's going to grow. You're going to get some little yellow tomatoes. I thought, this poor guy. He wasted money, once again, on some plant that Travis is going to yet again kill because he can't keep any of them alive. But, you know, that is still living, by the way. 4 days later. That plant, I still don't have a tomato. Don't know that I ever will have a tomato. I've been working here 9 years, trying to grow tomatoes 9 years, never successfully grown one tomato. It takes time, and probably something that I don't have, patience, to water it and to put. Grayson said, you can get a little Miracle-Grow and read the back of the bag, Travis. It'll tell you how to do it. It's kind of like he's saying, I'm going to, you know, back in kindergarten, you're going to get it. It takes patience. You plant corn and you plant crops and you plant, it takes water and patience. And sometimes it goes beyond you. Sometimes, farmers, you are dependent upon him. You're dependent upon the weather. And so as Paul kind of wraps up this little charge to Timothy, what's he saying? Patience in ministry and in life is huge. There's something great coming in the Christian life. I mean, we sing about it and we talk about it, and it's one day we get to finally be with Jesus. And everything this side of heaven finally makes sense, and glorified bodies and no more tears and no more heartache and no more sorrow. And man, that sounds great. We're not there yet. And so what Paul is saying is, Timothy, man, he's young. Prayerfully, Paul, you got a long life ahead of you to serve Jesus. And Paul is preparing him for what that life might look like. Because in his day, Nero was heavily persecuting the church. He was trying to squash out and kill Christians, and the gospel was not popular. It was, you were belittled, and you were often killed for your stance about Jesus. And so Paul's saying, Timothy, man, I know you're scared. Timothy, I know it's hard. Timothy, I know it seems like everything is coming at you at once, but man, be disciplined about this. Endure in this. And strive for Jesus in this. But then he says, but Timothy, be patient. The church isn't going to grow overnight. Your sanctification isn't going to grow exponentially overnight. Disciples aren't going to be made necessarily overnight. But he's saying, Timothy, just be faithful to where God has called you to be. And that's our charge. Just like you wait for the fruit and you wait for the vegetables after you plant them, he's saying so is true in your life. If you're going to go forward, graduates and adults and in the workforce and grandparents and parents, and you want to make much of the gospel and the ministry that Christ has called you to, be faithful. And just day after day, plant seeds of the gospel into your relationships. And then you might look back 10 years from now and say, wow, I didn't see the buds and I didn't see the growth day after day, but I look back year after year and man, God gave the increase. Your job is just to plant. Your job is just to be faithful where God has called you to be faithful. His job is to give the increase. His job is to bring out the harvest. You just say, God, here's where you've put me. And God, here's where you're calling me. And God, here's where you're going to use me. And God, I'm just going to take the gospel that I've been given, that I heard from others, so that I can make much of you. And God, you're going to do what only you can do. I mean, think about it. We're going to, back in verse 2, when he was talking about that multiplication and discipleship. You were saved today because Jesus taught his 12. His 12 taught other men. Those other men taught other men. And those other men taught other men. Do you catch it? Until eventually somebody taught you. The gospel is, it blows my mind that he would choose us as sinful, broken individuals to be the mouthpieces for his mission. But yet that's what he's done. And so is true with you. You got a lot of big things coming up. You got a lot of life, got a lot of things, got a lot of experiences, you got a lot of things to happen, but what he has entrusted with you is to spread the gospel, to endure hardship, to be disciplined in your walk with Christ, and back all the way to verse 1, to be connected to the source that is Jesus. Look at verse 7, and we'll wrap it up. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. It's like I said in the beginning, it's one thing to tell you to do it. How do you do it? Jesus. It's not a self-help. It's not three tips to a better you. It's, hey, I've got to get connected to Jesus at my job, at my life, in my marriage, raising kids, as a grandparent, at college. I've got to be connected to Jesus. And look what it says. And he, the Lord, will give you understanding in all things. This beautiful thing that now that we're Christians, we have illumination. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, helps us grow closer to him, and keeps us connected to him. And so what he's saying is, it might be difficult here, but what a day it will be when we get to be with Jesus forever. Patience. It's worth it. So life might be tough. Difficulties might be, the list of difficulties might be long. But friend, we sung it a few minutes ago, there is nothing better than Jesus. You can't get enough money. You can't earn a better degree. You can't have a better family than knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So grab hold of that. Be connected to that. You want to be the best version that you can be? It's Jesus. He's sanctifying you. And friend, there is nothing in this world better than him.